Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Jump Time AFL Podcast, Round 8, 2024. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is furious at Sam Draper. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. What a fantastic round of football we just witnessed. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about Essendon ruckman Sam Draper. Mm. Now, during the week, it came to light that he said comments on a podcast that kind of weren't terribly nice about Luke Beveridge and the way that the players see him down at Footscray.
To give the quick background, Sam essentially said if Bevo was around next year, then a lot of players, the Dogs, would be requesting trades.
Yeah. And I would like to just point out to Sam Draper, mate, when you're on a podcast, what you did was pathetic. Not once did you question any of Luke Beveridge's background, his manhood. Mm-hmm. No one at any stage did he call anyone a low dog.
No.
He didn't question the AFL or the way that they run the game. He didn't say that this is possibly... No, he didn't make one comment about having to play at Marvel Stadium and what a fucking shit show that is.
Yep.
He just left so much on the table. And, mate, if you're going to do a podcast, Sam Draper, do it properly, son.
Yep. No, I think it was actually a good example to people out there who want to get into the podcast game, Adam. We're talking people have been doing this for our 11th season so far. Yeah. And some people, said that it wouldn't last, that they hoped it wouldn't last, that they were desperate, desperate for it to end after a few weeks.
That's right.
But we've stuck together through thick and thin. Premierships and not premierships. And
yeah, okay. We've had some lean times, you and I.
And so we're going to send a message to Sam. If you're going to say stuff, you got to actually say stuff. You know, you got to really, you know, it didn't mention, you know, that maybe Bevo's wasting all his time surfing, maybe he's a shit surfer. Didn't mention the new teeth. Didn't mention the goatee rocked for a while, the chopper reed goatee.
Oh, you had the chopper reed, the handlebar mustache. I mean, if you're gonna, you're running a haircut from 1998. How about you bring that into the equation?
Yep.
And friend of the show, Bevo. We love him, but these are just things that Sam left on the table.
Little points he could have made. Now, I did find it very interesting, Brad Scott.
Another friend of the show.
He said, the quote's here, Draper, he said, he's very, very clear how disappointed I was. Can you imagine what Brad Scott had said?
Now, there's a podcast.
If you go in wearing a wire, okay? If Scotty goes, hey, Sammy, just want to have a quick chat to you in this padded room, 70 metres from the ground.
Yep,
just want to have a quick little chat. You pop on a wire.
Yep.
You walk into that meeting. Can you imagine what Brad Scott would have said to him? Because I must say, I actually reckon it was pretty bad. I know they talk about, and it is not uncommon for people in that podcast world. You get a bit comfortable after 40-odd minutes, begin saying stuff that you wouldn't normally say. You don't edit yourself. You forget you have a microphone in your hand. And, you know, you start becoming the Joe Rogan experience, and you start talking about aliens and mushrooms and the like.
Yep.
So I think Sammy did get a bit too comfortable. But also what he said was pretty out there.
Oh, as soon as Brad Scott, like when someone would have had to go in and go, mate, you got to go tell him. You got to tell him.
Mm.
And then they go in and he goes, what did he say? Yeah. He sledged an opposition team and said that their players would walk out if their current coach stuck around. And he would have just gone, oh, because you just, in this day and age, I don't give any opposition team any kind of weaponry to come at him in the next game. Like they are going to target. And particularly the players who are going to leave, they're going to be like, shut your fucking mouth, mate.
You're giving
the game
away.
I'm trying to get a better deal.
I told you in private, mate. Why are you telling me?
What are you doing?
Bailey Smith's like blocked him on Instagram. Come on, mate, you meant to keep that under your hat.
Do you reckon Bevo's down there at Footscray looking? Can you tell through the Wi-Fi at the club what people have downloaded onto their phones? You know when players aren't allowed to have their phones during a game.
Uh-huh.
Is Bevo now got the property steward going through people going, which podcast did they download?
Sure.
Who are they listening to? Are they Junk Time fans? They can stay at the club. Do they listen to Sam Draper? Gone.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts. But it was an amazing round of football, wasn't it?
It was. There were some really, really good games. Yeah. And even though Carlton were on the negative side of our outcome, it was still quite a good game.
Yeah, sure. How English cricket of you. Was it a moral victory, Adam?
I never fucking said that, mate. Those fucking dogs, I swear to God, mate, when that Collingwood chant starts up after they've kicked their second goal, there is nothing more. I don't think there's not any. Can you think of anything more insufferable in world sport?
Absolutely. Like, it's like, you know, people who eat noisily, like that really gets me.
Yeah.
People talk the traditional kind of scraping the nails down the chalkboard. Mm. I imagine, you know, parents like hearing your child, you know, scream in pain. You know, you can hear that would go through your bones. But I think topping the list for every non-Collingwood supporter, the worst sound possibly is that chant going up. So like when
and
it's like
also so early, like two goals. Like don't make us all hate you. We wanted when Craig McRae came in, we wanted to like and we liked you for a little while, and then
you did the right thing. That. You got rid of Ginnivan, like made you more likable.
Right.
You
let Port Adelaide wear the prison bars. We loved you. It was all fun games.
But it was so going to be Nick Dacos showing up in that final play, wasn't it? It was when the scores retired, and you just go, oh, sheesh, it's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen.
As soon as it was tied, I was like, we won't be able to hang on. And also the likelihood of it, Collingwood having back-to-back draws, I just thought, that's not going to happen. And you just realise when it's a tie that it's so hard to keep the ball away from the goals. Like, if they're a goal down, means they have to kick more than a point, but they just need to get it anywhere. They can just have a wild shot. Of course, Dacos was going to go through. He's such a fucking good player.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's a very good point, actually. When you have that, you can almost play with absolute abandon by the fact if you've got 10, 15 seconds to go, you go, I don't need to look in the middle. I don't need to think of my teammates in this one. I just need to go for it myself.
Yes, we'll go crazy here.
Mm.
Actually, so that was very tough. He kicked the goal, and then I was, it looked like I was like leaping out of my chair to cheer, but I was leaping to get out of that ground as quickly as I could.
Yeah, sure, dude. Yes. No, I can't imagine you were particularly happy.
And some of the fucking just people walking by themselves, just screaming. One guy was just yelling about Aratio Fantasia and what a terrible game he had. And I thought this guy was around people, but he was just by himself. He was like, Fantasia, he could have got me fucking dropped.
So
it's just like,
So Vossi was taking it pretty hard.
Yeah, he left early. He was at Jollymont early.
I was pretty impressed by Melbourne's win, actually. I didn't think they'd get up over the Cats. And then I think we started out with a bit of a belter with the Giants and the Swans, and then the rain came, and so it kind of dudded that game a little bit. But Adam, I haven't worded you up on this a little bit, but I suspect we might be in for a bump around in round 9. If we take a little look at the ladder, Adam.
Oh, let's not take a look at the ladder.
Take a little look at the ladder, Adam. I think we might have a little smorgasbord of 8-point games.
So we've got Carlton and Melbourne on Thursday night as the opener, which is going to be an absolute fucking belter because Carlton's lost 2 in a row now. And I genuinely think, and I thought this a long time ago, that we will be 5-5.
That's an 8-point game, Adam.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Fuck, is this the earliest 8-point game we've ever had?
I think we have to go through the archives, but I'm going to say it's pretty early for round 9 to be having 8-point games. It's not just one. Yeah. You look at Port Adelaide and you look at Geelong. Now, Geelong sitting there on second spot on the ladder, but Port need to stay in that 8. So I think we're calling that one an 8-point game.
That is another 8er.
And then, Adam, why don't we look at that Friday night, the glorious Friday night? Fremantle.
What did you think, just before we move on, we'll talk quickly about Port Adelaide, but who decided to play Connor Rosie, even though everyone
right.
His hammy's a bit dodgy. His hammy's a bit dodgy. Everyone's saying his hammy's a bit dodgy. And Kenny's gone, I saw him run at training. He'll be fine.
What do you think their logic is there by the fact they go, isn't it, someone said over the weekend, they said as soon as you've got a little bit of a little bit of a something, it's going to tear properly.
I don't know why he would overrule. I mean, I suppose the doctors all said, yeah, he's fine, and they clearly put him at pace. But I think it wasn't under real pressure, Michael. You know, we always talk about, you know, teams are flying in the preseason, but it's not until they come up against opposition. And if he is desperate to stretch out for a ball, he's not going to do that at training, is he?
No, no. And
what they need to do at training is, right, is they put, they just go, Connor, go out to the ground, and then they put a bear out there.
Okay. It could be,
and so the bear starts to hunt him down, and they've got a tranquilizer on hand. The bear's not going to rip him to bits. You know, it's not going to be like it's not going to be the Revenant, okay?
No, no.
But as soon as the bear gets near him, you'll know whether his hamstring can handle it. And if he comes off the ground and he's okay, you go, Connor Rosie, you're playing.
Only problem, though. Only problem, it's Adelaide. Therefore, it's Humphrey Bear, not as threatening.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, no, if someone came at you wearing just a vest and no undies.
An oversized tie.
Yeah, as would have happened a lot to you at Scouts.
Hey, a lot was happening in Adelaide over the weekend, Adam.
But hang on, you were talking about the 8-point game.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Yeah, so we got Essendon and we got the Giants. Okay, Giants at third spot, Essendon at fifth spot. That is an 8-point game.
Another one.
And then I think
Freo Sydney 8-pointer.
8-pointer, and then if we look at the rest of the ladder. Nah, you can take the rest of the afternoon. You can take Saturday, Sunday off, guys. Don't worry about it. Go hang out with the kids. Now, there is a Adelaide Football League, Adam.
Oh, yes. We must get to this game. Incredible game played over in South Australia.
Adelaide Football League, Division 6, men's division.
Yep.
I believe it's sponsored by Villy's Bakery, this division.
One of the best bakeries, yep.
And so we had Elizabeth Eagles go up against Fitzroy. Fitzroy are the Fitzroy... Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, Fitzroy Lions. 8-point game.
Wasn't it?
8-point game. And in the end, Fitzroy came out 82 goals, 24. And we've always said bad kicking is bad football.
It is.
And then Elizabeth came out 0 goals, 0. A 516-point win to the Lions.
Shattered. I had... Fitzroy at the line at 516.5. And I was like, just kick another point. And they didn't, and the fucking multi fell apart.
Dude, I mean, we send our love to the Elizabeth Eagles. We'll come and do a live show in the club rooms, okay? And make you feel better. Because they've been having a rough trot, Adam, I got to say, yeah? In the previous round. Let's go through the Eagles' year so far, okay?
Well, they've kicked 4-7 for the year.
Yeah, we're saying this with love. Their percentage is 2.13.
I've never heard of a percentage that's only double figures.
And so they lost to Eastern Park by 340 points in round one. Now, that's round one. That can happen to anyone, you know?
Are you blowing the cobwebs off?
Yeah, you know, maybe there was a bit of trouble over the preseason. You know, maybe couldn't get on the home ground. Yeah, that's round one.
Maybe something happened on the footy trip over in Vegas. Just don't know what's happened. It's round one. It's an aberration.
WhatsApp messages going around, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Round two, they come up against St. Paul's. This one's a bit closer. They lose by 254 points. So that's something.
Well, I mean, on that day, Elizabeth kicked 1-5. So like you said, bad kicking is bad footy. That could easily have been... 2 goals, 4.
And then also on top of that, I'm here in St. Paul's just through freaking nature. They kicked with the wind for 3 of those quarters. Okay, so that's
I've never heard of that before.
You know, that's not on Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Round three, they come up against Horton Districts. Horton Districts, they kick 298, 296. And Elizabeth kicked 13. So what, their highest score of the year so far?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Everything's looking up. And then they come up to round four and they have the 516-point loss, which, you know, we've all played in one of them, haven't we, over the journey?
Well, you know what I love, though, is that Fitzroy didn't take the foot off the throat.
No.
So they kicked 24 goals, 3 in the last quarter.
Were they thinking percentage? Like, or were they just going, can we just go home now and call it off? So they were 133 points up at quarter time. They were 21 goals, 7 at quarter time. Now, what does a coach say to a team that is 133 points down at quarter time?
You got a man up. Guys, that thing that I said about playing loose, I'm wrong. I'm completely wrong.
Like, at what stage also do you throw people back? Like, do you just go, everybody go behind the field? Like, I'm going to imagine this league doesn't have a 666. I'm going to presume that. I don't know, yeah, that filtered through into amateur leagues.
Yeah.
And let's go. And so at halftime, Elizabeth are down by 40 goals, 241 points. But at this time, though, what I have noticed is that they're strong in their second halves. Okay?
Yeah, you have picked up on
I've
that.
Been following champion data.
Yeah.
And they've been saying they're strong. They're then down by 369 at three-quarter time. And then, yes, then they get another 24 goals, 23 goals in the last quarter. And we look at some of the stats. One of the guys there got 29 goals.
Look, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't you?
But when do you make the change? Like, when do you make the change on the fullback? Like, he's kicked 5 and you go, okay, we'll change it. And then you go, okay, he's kicked 12.
Change him again.
Okay, he's kicked 28.
I'm feeling, you know what I'm noticing though, without going, I don't want to blame the fullback. I'm sensing there was a lot of midfield pressure.
No.
I reckon that ball was squirting out of the middle quite easily and readily.
Well, if you think if the game goes maybe 100 minutes, a little bit over, we're talking pretty much a goal a minute for the entire game.
So this game, so if it's played at, say, 20 minutes plus time on, this would have been like a 3.5 hour game.
Well, actually, that's a very good point. I didn't think about that. I actually thought it'd be a very kind of quick game, but no, obviously. And then, well, looking at the stats as well, there's a guy here who kicked 7, and he didn't make it in the best.
Oh, mate, he's come on. He's just feasted. He's probably the sub. He's come on. He's just fucking kicked a lazy 7. He's taken it easy.
He probably came on in the last 5 minutes. And then I saw a bit of footage on Facebook today. And we're sending our love to the Elizabeth Eagles. We're sending our love. You know, we'll get down there. Yeah. But there was one bloke who played his 150th. So they cheered him off the ground after the game.
Jesus. I would have asked for that. I would have asked for that at quarter time just so you can go home. Like, you know when your mates, when your workmates go, do you play footy on the weekends? I go, yeah, do. How'd you go?
Yeah.
Opposition kicked 82 goals. And they just would you look someone in the eye and just be like, is your life that bad? Like, is that how fuck things are that you want to play? But fucking, let's feel for the goal umpire.
Ah, yep, sure.
That bloke is working his ass off.
Because that guy would have done it for free, surely. What if that was like, you know, often the opposition teams will, or the players not playing will actually man the goals.
Yeah.
So what if you're playing for Elizabeth and you've got to watch, you know, at one end watch 45 goals go over your head?
You know who it would have been good for? I reckon it would have been good for the bar, right? Because everyone's coming down to... when you hear the phones are pinging around the Elizabeth area, they're put on 38 at halftime, fellas. You got to come down to watch this shit. And so the bar down there, the Coopers is going crazy, the West End, they're all going fucking bananas. Yeah. And they're just... like, that would actually be like a carnival atmosphere to see a team slam on 44 goals in the second half.
Are you going nuts for the 80th? Like, are you kind of, as a crowd, are you wanting the team to get to 80? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, but here is a positive for Elizabeth. They will eventually win one. And that'll get major coverage as well.
Yeah. I think they do need to learn how to flood a little bit.
Yes. We're saying they're in a rebuilding period.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, Elizabeth Eagles fans.
Yeah, no, if we know things, we're very positive on this podcast. So.
I'll tell you one thing I am very positive about, and this kind of got a little bit of traction over the weekend because there was a lot of showing the commentary box when Nick Dacos kicked that goal against the Blues, and they said, oh, here's how SEN called it, here's how 3RW called it. But Dwayne Russell, the Pipe, Dwayne Pipe, he... And I had heard this, but it just got a lot of traction over the weekend. He, in the commentary box, has a 2-litre tub of milk that he drinks during the match.
Now, that is a regular thing. It's not a thing that's been picked up on this week.
No, he does do it quite a bit.
I'm gonna reckon that's a throat thing. I think a milk drinking milk would coat the mouth quite well.
I always found that like drinking anything kind of like that just coats your mouth, like you say.
Hmm.
But in a detrimental way, like you got to do the big
okay,
every
gotcha.
Like 2 minutes,
so you almost get a bit too much saliva or there's a bit too it's much bit hanging around in your mouth. Yeah, okay,
a little bit.
Yeah. What is your milk drinking pattern? You much of a milk drinker?
I was going to say, I cannot remember the last time I actively drank a glass of
milk. Had a glass of milk that wasn't a Big M or something like that.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. That wasn't flavoured. Was just go to the fridge, get yourself a glass of chilled milk,
yep,
and down that. Like, what am I, fucking, is it 1958 America? Like, why am I doing that for?
I used to be quite a big milk drinker. About, I reckon about
there
a
we go.
Decade
there
ago. We go. I reckon a decade ago, you used to probably go through a couple of litres every couple of days, I reckon. Every two
at
or
home.
3 days at
you
home.
You sit there having a little glass, cheeky glass of milk.
Well, I'd have it really instead of a coffee. If I was working from home, instead of having a coffee, I'd probably pour a glass of milk and put coffee in that. So not a warm coffee as such. But I used to go through a pretty decent amount of milk for an adult, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No ring on this finger. But yes, my milk drinking days have waned. So do you reckon he goes through the 2 litres during the whole game? I reckon you could go through 2 litres in the whole game.
Well, the only thing I put it to you, you're a milk drinker, mm-hmm, is that across the course of a 2-hour game, that milk would slightly, I'm not saying be hot, but it would warm up. And I think, would you not need the milk to be particularly chilled?
Yeah, yeah, I think you'd prefer to be chilled. Also, I feel like, I think it's a sipping drink. It's not a gulping drink. So I feel like 2 hours over a whole game is probably a bit excessive. When I reckon, again, like I think he's using it as more a technique to help his commentary speech as opposed to I really need some milk right now. But he's a non-drinker and, you know, very healthy man.
Yeah.
I remember him talking about years ago when he was a young kid looking to get drafted, and he talked about he wanted to be training at midnight on New Year's Eve. Because he knew that nobody else was going to be training at midnight at New Year's Eve. And he kind of wanted to go, like, I want to do as much as I can, get that edge, yeah, on people.
I've seen a lot of people whose heart rates are up at midnight and New Year's Eve and they're sweating profusely.
And, I mean, they must be kind of working out sometimes because they're very alert. Like, they're very alert.
Yeah, they are, yeah. They're all on it. But do you, okay, so he doesn't drink, right? So that means Dwayne Pipe, now that he's not a footballer, at midnight on New Year's Eve, he's just sitting there going, kicks it, then what happens?
Yeah, sure.
Rolls it, kicks, yep, it, rolls it, kicks it. What happens next? Kicks it, rolls it, goals it.
Yeah.
Bang.
No, he's doing...
No, well, the commentator's doing that at midnight.
He's doing pretend talk back.
Yeah, okay.
He's looking at the phone. He's going, okay, we got Adam from North Fitzroy. You got something to say about the Carlton back line, haven't you?
Yeah. He's just there going, what's close to the... Halftime is approaching. How would I put that? What am I standing? It's the shadows of halftime. Beautiful.
Well, very appropriate for him to be drinking milk, Adam. I mean, he's the king of the shake and bake, mate.
Shake and bake.
It's the shake and bake. That's where it's come from. It's probably his thing. It's probably, he wants to be known as the shake or something.
Oh,
like, you know,
yes,
some people try to give themselves a nickname every now and then. He kind of like, he's associating the milk, associating the shake. And so he can come. He becomes the shake or he becomes the bake. So you see, instead of pipe, he's bored of that. He goes, hey, it's the bake.
But didn't we work out, I think we've spoken about this, that shake and bake is, it's not a milk-based thing. It's like a...
Isn't like the kind of you put food in a bag and then you shake it for the seasoning?
Oh, yes, it is exactly that. Yeah. Like what you do to a parma, a schnitzel, a schnitty.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you kind of, you know, you can put fries in a bag and then put the seasoning in the bag and you shake it up and so it distributes evenly.
I'd fucking love the shake and bake. I'm all on it.
I could really get some fucking milk right now too. Adam, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Marvel Stadium.
Well, where else would you want to be?
I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's returning, Adam.
Is it?
It's returning this winter in Melbourne.
Okay.
I mean, already people have booked their tickets. I mean, it's probably sold out. It's probably sold out already.
Yeah, so we apologise to any junk timers who are just finding out about this.
The Firelight Festival is returning to Docklands this winter with a never-before-seen experience.
Yeah, I reckon I can explain that never-before-seen experience.
Set to transform Marvel Stadium. Now, we've been on the Firelight Labyrinth for a long time, haven't we, Adam?
Yeah.
It's a dazzling light and sound maze using cutting-edge technology.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this cutting-edge technology. It looks like lights to me, but sure, I'm open to hear what it's all about.
I think fair to say the first time cutting-edge technology has ever been used at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, that's a good point. They've got big TVs, though. Don't forget that.
We're going to have dynamic audio, and we're going to have more than 144,000 lights. That
But the big thing, the big draw, Carmichael, that will, where's it going to be?
They will illuminate.
Where?
The car park at Marvel Stadium.
Not the Marvel car park.
For everybody out there who's gone into the car park at Marvel Stadium and thought, I wish it was dark and light at the same time. Well, this is for you.
And loud. Don't forget loud.
And more cutting edge.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's a Vivid Festival, but on a lower scale. Vivid Festival, when they light up the Opera House, light up the Harbour Bridge, light up Botanical Gardens around Sydney
and the like.
Yeah, they
used to do White Night in Melbourne.
Yeah, in Melbourne, of course. Very similar thing. Yes, yes.
It was a Rising Festival. But, see, the thing is, this is where they get you.
Yeah.
Because they say, do you want to come to Marvel? People go, no fucking way. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah. I've seen what they've done. There's no running track there yet. No. I'm not going. And they say, sorry, do you want to go to the Marvel car park? And you're like, whoa, you didn't mention the car park.
Shut up and take my money. So you go into various rooms. You go into various rooms, and the Labyrinth of Light tells a modern version of the mythology of Theseus and the Minotaur.
Is that right?
The Minotaur is played by Caleb Daniel. The immersive experience which leads visitors on the journey through blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's a bunch of lights, and it's going to be in a car park.
I've always said that the one place that you want to drag people anywhere around the world is a dark, poorly lit but brightly lit and really noisy car park where you cannot hear anyone.
You know what I want to do? I want to go to the. I want to experience the desolation of Docklands Stadium, but the underground bit.
Yeah.
I like the idea though that they have to build one of the displays. Because Dustin Martin's in his car's in the way, so they got to build around it.
They got to build around it, yeah.
And like halfway through, like a Thursday night, Dusty comes back to get his car, and drags like 5,000 lights with him.
You know who they should make the ambassador for this? Damien Hardwick. If you can draw Damien to the Marvel Stadium car park, and he's like, people, I'm saying it's good, then everyone would be like, mate, if Dimmer's on board, if Dimmer's going to Marvel, that's how good it is.
Let me have a look at it. So the festival is a beacon light for the struggling Docklands precinct. Last year, injected $4.7 million into the local economy in 3 days. 100,000 people attended?
All right. Now, I'm going to call out this article because if anyone is across everything that is done at Marvel Stadium, it's the Junk Time AFL podcast. I cannot believe that drew 100,000 people to Docklands.
So I reckon they're saying 100,000 people in the Docklands area. They're not saying that 100,000 people would wander through the Marvel car park. Raises an interesting question. I don't think I've ever been in the car park at Marvel. I don't think I've ever had a reason to go in there. I actually don't even know where the entrance would be. Where is the entrance to the car park?
So I think the main entrances are on Wurundjeri Way. Kind of just behind the Southern Cross train station. If you're walking from the train station, you would walk over that road.
Okay.
And you enter off the back there. Sort of near, you'd come in off where Festival Hall is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get
so
that.
So there's a few entrances there. And there's also some off Bourke Street, but the underneath part of Bourke Street.
Yeah, sure.
And I've driven in there. And I've got to say, when I did drive in there, I said, you know what this car park needs is a fucking light and sound show.
You've been
and
strong on that. Yeah.
I mentioned that when it was Colonial Stadium, when it was Telstra Dome, no one listened to me. When it was Eddie had, everyone said, shut the fuck up, dickhead.
Yeah. Because I remember back in the day, and it's happened so many times later, but I mean, years later, but like when they're trying to lure teams to Colonial Stadium at the time.
Yeah.
You know, Essendon signed up, you know, North Melbourne signed up, you know, Carlton signed up, and the lure was Colo doing the deal, Ian Collins doing the deal. Said, play games, play home games here. Bigger ones, you play at the MCG, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And it's a sign on the dotted line. They said, hey, Colo. I mean, you got to promise one more thing. So, oh yeah, we're gonna have a sound and light show one day, man. And they said, "Fucking pay us half."
Yeah. I don't ever want to. We'll have less games at the MCG.
Keep the ticket money, Colo.
Yeah.
Just as long as there's a sound and light show one day.
This is great.
In the car park.
Oh, now, there's no footballers in real life. No. But the one thing that I did want to talk about is the sub, which got quite a bit of use over the weekend. Yeah. How was Brisbane last night? The carnage up at the Gabba.
Yeah, dude.
Two ACLs, a concussion, an injury pre-game to Stasevich. They'd had an absolute shocker. And obviously they needed to put their sub into use quite early. But the one thing I wanted to talk about the sub, so when it's not an injury, is how humiliating and belittling that is that they say in front of 60,000 people, hey, everyone, this fuckwit can't do his job properly.
Fucking hell.
Like, imagine you're at work. You're just at work and then the boss comes in at like 1 o'clock and goes, Chambo, just go sit in that office over there. We're disconnecting your computers.
And
you're not allowed to do anything because you, mate, you have had a fucking shocker.
And you got to wear a little colourful vest as well.
Yep.
And everyone can spot you from a distance.
Everyone knows who you are and you're a fucking embarrassment. And maybe next week we might let you back in the building. We haven't decided yet.
Yes, and let me just preface it by saying the odds are not good. We have taken you off and told you to sit down.
Because I kind of thought about it, you know, because they said, you know, Riley Sanders a couple of weeks ago, they said he kind of spat the dummy and threw a water bottle and stuff. And, you know, they said he's competitive and stuff. But to be told, hey, mate, you're not cutting it. You think you're good.
Yeah.
You shit ass, buddy.
I would genuinely crack it if I got subbed. Like, I mean, I've been dragged.
Toys out of the car.
Yeah, I've been dragged. But if I was told you are no longer playing in the game, I would absolutely fucking crack it.
If I have a bad shot at golf, or, you know, when I got out at cricket when I was younger, like, things would be thrown.
Yeah,
and that was
sure.
My own fault. When someone's telling you, nah, mate, you're off.
Yeah. I'm amazed I actually take it that well. And then also on top of that, like, you know, sometimes they'll take someone off in a sub in a grand final just to give the other bloke a go.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder sometimes how people take that, where you go, it's party time, we're 10 goals up.
Yeah.
You know, why can't I just enjoy that final quarter on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, but then would you want to do it? Because Brandon Parfitt was probably he got to do that in the 2022 grand final with Geelong and Sydney. And I guess maybe as a teammate, you're like, I'll let him
go.
Because, you know, he's a good bloke. But also, like you say, I want to be doing fucking handstands when Joel Selwood kicks that goal from 50 and everyone else gets to pick him up and I'm sitting there in the back row.
Yeah.
Having said that, if it was that big a win on grand final day, I'd be back there with a frothy.
Hey, keep your eyes out for those footballers in real life. We are JunkTimeOverPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook and the gram. Go
the Elizabeth Eagles.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.